When I asked the man who came to the door for the de pite, he shook his head, and said,
"Well, I don't know him. There ain't no such a person here. I never heard of him in all my blooming days. Don't believe there ain't nobody of that kind living here, or anywheres."
I took out Smollett's letter, and as I read it, it seemed to me that the lesson of the spelling of the name of the court might guide me. "What are you?" I said.
"I'm the deputy," he answered.
I saw at once that I was on the right track. Phonetic spelling had again misled me. A half-crown tip put the deputy's knowledge at my disposal, and I learned that Mr. Bloxham, who had slept off the remains of his beer on the previous night at Corcoran's, had left for his work at Poplar at 5 o'clock that morning. He couldn't tell me where the place of work was situated, but he had a vague idea that it was some kind of a
newfangled warehouse.
With this slender clue, I had to start for Poplar. It was 12 o'clock before I got any satisfactory hint of such a building, and this I got at a coffee shop, where some workmen were having their dinner. One of these suggested that there was being erected at Cross Angel Street a new cold storage building, and as this suited the condition of a newfangled warehouse, I at once drove to it. An interview with a surly gatekeeper and a surlier foreman, both of whom were appeased with the coin of the realm, put me on the track of Bloxham. He was sent for on my suggesting that I was willing to pay his day's wages to his foreman for the privilege of asking him a few questions on a private matter. He was a smart enough fellow, though rough of speech and bearing. When I had promised to pay for his information and give him an earnest, he told me that he had made 2 journeys between Carfax and a house in Piccadilly, and had taken from this house to the latter 9 great boxes, main heavy ones, with a horse and cart hired by him for this purpose. I asked him if he could tell me the number of the house in Piccadilly, to which he replied,
"Well, Governor, I forgets your number. But it was only a few doors from a big white church or something of the kind, not long built. It was a dusty old house, too, though nothing to the dustiness of the house we took the blooming boxes from."
"How did you get into the houses, if they were both empty?"
"There was the old party what engaged me a-waiting in the house at Purfleet, and he helped me to lift the boxes and put them in the dray. Curse me, but he was the strongest chap I ever struck. And him, an old fellow with a white moustache, one that thin, you would think he couldn't throw a shadow."
How this phrase thrilled through me.